Well, good morning. Well, that was enthusiastic. Yeah. My name is Rob, and Uncle Rob. It's good to be here with you and see many familiar faces and many new friends. And Janet and I have been away for a couple of weeks. I for a little while longer, but it's always great to be back home and hearing what the Lord is doing here in our own community. So, and we have the privilege this morning of going into Scripture in this series here in Galatians, chapter 5, on the fruit of the Spirit. And as was mentioned, today's topic is peace. So let's pray together as we jump into the Scripture. Father, we thank you today for your presence with us. And now, Holy Spirit, you're the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes down to us from the Father above. And you yourself, Holy Spirit, are the most precious gift to us, that you're with us. So teach us now and open up this important fruit that you want to impart to us, the fruit of peace. So open your word up, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, peace is in deep need in our world, and that awareness, that hunger for peace has always been there, but it's just been growing, and we've been watching as every week the news is just telling us about bombings and death and terrorist attacks, and then here in the U.S. There was the shootings of young black men, and then shootings of police officers in Dallas. So it's been a horrendous couple of weeks, but it's not just a couple of weeks. It's been going on for a long time, and I think for a lot of us, we just get used to seeing it on the news, and we kind of tune it out. So, another bomb blast in Baghdad. Another 100 people were killed, but we sort of wake up as it progressively gets closer, right? And so all of a sudden in our world, we're more consciously aware. I think some of you probably felt what I felt just a while ago. It's not a common feeling, but I remember sitting in a restaurant thinking, I wonder if a bomb could go off here. And, that's not a feeling that most Canadians think of. But as the world has changed, we become aware that Canada, the country of peace, is not necessarily such a safe and protected place, even as thankful as we are for our country. And when I think about the history of the last 100 years, because you always say, in perspective historically, what's going on in the world? And we have had 100 years of deep conflict in on our planet, and 2 world wars, and those were brutal times where, tens of millions of men and women died, and then ongoing conflict since then, it seems like, since World War II, there's been peace, but really there's been ongoing wars being fought all over the world, and we forget about them. These people are living in abject violence and lack of peace. And even when there's no war, the other day I was watching a thing about Rio, so they had a thing about the people that live in the slums of Rio. Millions of people living in that city where we're going to watch the Olympic Games, their life is like lived in a war zone. In these slums, they're dominated by gangs. The police are afraid to go there. So they're interviewing a young woman. She said, well, you just get used to it. People are shot. Guns are everywhere. It's violence. Do we need peace? Are we hungry for peace? Yes. And this morning we want to look at real and true peace, because peace in the Scripture is not just the absence of conflict, which is the sort of general human term. When we think about peace, we think it means, well, you stop fighting. They're not fighting. But peace in the Scripture is much deeper than that, more profound and more precious. And the peace that God offers to us that we want to look at in Scripture today is a peace without which we cannot actually experience real peace in our relationship with people. How many of you have seen that bumper sticker that says coexist? You remember that sticker? It says coexist, and it uses just all the symbols of the different religions. And that's sort of a cry for peace. Would the religions just get along? Couldn't we just stop fighting? But it's not actually in us, is it? It's not actually in humanity to coexist that way. There's something else at work. And it's not your fault. And it's something in me that puts me at conflict with myself, with my Creator, with the world, and with others. We need a deeper peace. And that's the peace that God offers us. And so today I just want to look at the topic of peace with you out of this passage. And we'll just briefly reference the passage that's been introduced to us over this series. And then we'll look at the beauty of the gift of peace that the Holy Spirit gives, God's peace. We'll look at briefly what robs peace from our lives, how we can cultivate peace. And finally, just talk about the fulfillment of peace. And I want to give an opportunity. I want you to know as we close this service, there will be an opportunity to pray. Because as we're going through peace, I know it's going to stir up in our hearts, say, I need peace in my life. Maybe some of you are here today, you've never experienced peace deep down. And I want to let you know today that peace is available. The gift of peace that we're looking at in Scripture is still freely available. And I want to explain that to you today, how you can receive that grace and peace even here today. So this beautiful gift of peace. Galatians 5:22 is our passage this summer. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There's no law against these things. And just to set the context here, this is Paul, the apostle, writing a letter to the believers in Galatia. And it's really an interesting letter, because at one point he says, oh, you dear idiot Galatians, you guys, are you nuts? So it's one of these letters where he's really, you know, he's kind of in your face, writing quite a stern letter to them. And what's the issue that he's confronting these Galatians about? Well, they have let a confusion come into their wonderful experience of their community, of relationship with God, of following Christ. And that confusion is, there are folks from the old Jewish background that are there saying, you know, it's great that Christ died for our sins, but hey, all you folks in this city of Galatia, and this is an international Roman kind of city, cosmopolitan, with North Africans, dark-skinned, light-skinned, Asian folks, parts of Northern Europe, they're all there, Greeks and Jews. And the Jews who sort of say, well, we own this, Jesus was a Jew after all, and just newsflash, you know, you've put your trust in Jesus and you're from all these religions and that's great in your backgrounds, but really if you want to follow him, you got to follow the Jewish rules. So we've got some holidays, you got to honor those, you can't do the pagan holidays anymore. Say Christmas is out, you got to do just Hanukkah, that's the new thing. And then we've got some foods that you can't eat anymore, no more barbecue, there's no more pork. And because you're not going to get to heaven that way. And then last and not least, but circumcision is in there too. Guys, sorry about that. Newsflash. And so Paul is like, time out, stop, no, no, and no. And why is Paul like so stern about this? Well, the beauty of the gospel is that, you know, God chose his people, the Jewish people, to show his love to all the world and bless the Jews. But when Christ came, God blew the doors open on the cultural, ethnic background, and every nation now has opportunity. Every people. You don't have to follow all the cultural laws. The gospel can come into your life, true righteousness, by the Holy Spirit as a gift indwelling us, is available for every person, irregardless of your religious, racial background. That's not the foundation. And Paul says, actually, it never was. Nobody ever got to heaven doing that. Hello? Nobody ever kept the laws of Moses perfectly. Even the old Jewish forefathers walked by faith. So that's the message. And in that message, Paul says, hey, the gift of God is the Holy Spirit, the promised Spirit, and he living within us produces fruit, righteousness, and it's beautiful fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and today peace, this beautiful gift. So much more than the cessation of hostility. The Greek word for peace, Irenaea, from which we get the name Irene or Aaron, peace. For the Greeks, it just meant what it means for most people today, the absence of conflict. But really in the scripture, the New Testament word, the Greek word for peace, is completely taken over by the ancient Hebrew meaning. And the Hebrew word for peace is, some of you know it, shalom. Yeah, in Arabic, if you give a greeting, salam. It's the same word, peace. But it's not just absence of conflict. No, no, no. This word means the wellness and completeness of God's favor and blessing, right relationship with one another, right relationship with God, right relationship with creation. And it's pictured for us in the Garden of Eden. This was peace. This was shalom. Here was a man and a woman in harmony with God's creation, given work to do. And in the evening, God came and walked with them in the garden. What was that even like? How did God come and make his presence known? I don't know, but that is shalom. That is what God made us for, and that is what our hearts long for. We want to be in right relationship with one another, with the creation that God has made, and with our Creator. That's peace. Not coexistence, but peace with God. And we lost that peace. How did we lose it? Our forefathers, Adam and Eve, fell into the trap of a lie. God's not really that good. He's holding back from you. You know that. He's keeping you stupid. So eat from this tree. Then you'll know and you'll be like God. Adam and Eve think, maybe there's something to this. We could be like God. We need to be like God. Let's do this. And they were sucked in, and a barrier of hostility came between us and God. And it's our rebellion, the Bible calls it. It's not just like an innocent mistake. And we do it today. Every one of us. We have this within us. I want to be like God. I want to be the master of my own soul. This is my life, isn't it? I will make my choices. And that produces or robs the shalom from our lives. It robs us of peace. But God has restored it and given it to us, the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. He tells us that he himself is our peace. In John 16, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." He said in John 14, 27, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." So his disciples, Jesus promised them peace. And it's not just an absence of conflict. In fact, they were about to experience conflict. Jesus was about to go to the cross. The soldiers were about to arrest him, beat him, torture him, and crucify him. His disciples were scattered. Violence was all around them. Jesus said just before that, "Peace I give to you, not like the world gives." This is not just absence of conflict. And there may be conflict. I'm giving you a peace of my presence, my favor on you, despite any circumstance. I am with you. I will never leave you. That's the peace that God offers us, and it's the peace of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Preparing for this talk, I was just reminded how I take it for granted. I've lived as a believer for a long time. I just take it for granted too often. Doing the Freedom Session course this last year just reminded me, again, how quickly peace is lost. How many times we struggle with inner turmoil, conflict, unforgiveness in our relationships. And I've just been realizing again, peace with God is a precious gift. Phil Collins, the pastor at Willa Park was sharing a story this last week at our convention, and Phil is a real evangelist and great sense of humor there. But he was telling us a story. He says, look, you know, often I'm busy and I get interrupted as a pastor, and I'm busy with my meeting. So one day I'm heading to a meeting. I think I'm a busy pastor, big church, multi-campus sites, you know, and the phone rings. And the secretary says, oh, Pastor Phil, there's a lady on the phone. She's calling you. She wants you to visit her son. Really? I'm a busy pastor. It's okay. Whatever. So the Lord prompts him, take the phone call. So he gets the call. Lady says, yeah, I'm in Mexico, but I need you to visit my son. He really needs the Lord. So Phil's like, Mexico? You wouldn't happen to be on a beach, would you? Well, yes. Are you drinking? No, I'm not drinking, the lady says. So. Why does your son need the Lord? Well, he's just in desperate situation. Will you just give him a call? Here's his number. So Phil writes down the number. Busy schedule, but he calls the guy, Chad, gruff guy, answers the phone. Chad, your mom called me from Mexico. She says, we need to meet. I have half an hour. Can you come down? Yeah, I'll be down. Guy shows up, huge guy, big biker guy. Phil says, come on to my office. Talks to the secretary on the way by. Could you keep an eye on me? Make sure I'm alive, you know, after this meeting. You know, I don't know. So he sits down with me. He's like, do you have any idea why your mother would call me from Mexico and say we need to meet? Yeah. My life's a mess. You know, the guy's been working oil rigs or whatever, pile of money, but my relationships are wrecked. My marriage is on the skids, you know. My life's a mess. Phil's like, okay, I'm going to explain to you how you can experience peace with God. So he walks him through, draws on a napkin. You know, here's you, here's God, separation of your sin. You know, you chasing whatever your dreams in life are, but you can't make life work. You need God. The cross in the middle, Jesus dies, brings you back into relationship with God. Would you like that? Yeah. Okay, let's pray right now. So they bow their heads and Chad prays, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I repent of my sins. Come into my life. And all of a sudden he goes, whoa, what was that? Phil's like, I don't know. What was it? He goes, I just felt something. I feel like I have never felt before. I feel peace coming over me. And Phil's like, oh, that's God. You know, you released your sin. That burden's been lifted from you and you're experiencing the presence of God in your life. That peace, some of you can identify with it. Maybe you experienced it right in the moment you surrendered to Christ. Maybe it was in days later, but you felt something change. God flooded into your life, and it's supernatural peace. It's not just the absence of conflict. It is a deep and profound peace, and that comes from Christ, restoring our relationship with God. And that peace rolls out into our relationships with others. So what are some of the things that steal peace? If we've received that peace in our life, what could take it away? And I would say, just out of my own experience, that when I get my eyes back on myself, that's what robs me of peace. So when I think about me and what I need and why things aren't going my way, when I start my day not thinking about God, but listening to the news, getting on my drive, I pull onto the freeway, and this is my car, my piece of road. And anybody moves in front of me, are you kidding me? I'm accelerating. You can't move in there. My road, my piece of highway, mine. You know, and everything's like this. It's me. I'm just, my world is me, and it robs me of any sense of peace. The other thing it does is it blinds me to people around me. I don't see how I could touch their lives, how God might be using me, because it's my world. The worries of life, chasing after stuff, seeing what others have, what I don't have. It's an unending list of distractions. It's what happens when we open the door and we say, actually, me. This life is about me. I want what I want. And we wouldn't say it that way, but we're ignoring our Creator. I'm ignoring my God. I'm ignoring all He has done for me. And I'm saying, I want to do this. I want to do that without reference to Him. These are the things that rob me of peace. Another great one is unresolved conflict. And many of you felt that. When you have unresolved conflict with a brother, a sister, a friend, a husband or a wife, it robs you of peace because you can't actually enjoy your relationship with God when you have a broken relationship with someone that's a brother or a sister. And that's why it's so important for us as a community of faith to keep short accounts, to extend grace and forgiveness. It's not actually an option. It's a necessity. So how can I cultivate peace? And I'd like to just talk in two areas, cultivating inner peace and then cultivating peace in relationships. Because peace in relationships is grounded in inner peace. So how do I cultivate inner peace? And well, you might ask the question, well, if it's a gift of the Spirit, what do I need to cultivate it for? Well, here's the thing. When Paul was saying that now goodness and right relationship with God is no longer based on keeping laws and rules and culture and ethnicity, it's now a gift from God. He's not saying you don't have to work at it. He's saying you can't earn it. You can never earn it. It's not an earned thing. It's a gift from God. That doesn't mean it doesn't require effort. All over the scripture, we're encouraged to pursue, to diligently pursue God and to make every effort to add to what God has given to us, to not earn anything, but to see that maturity of character that we want. How do you see cultivation and maturity of the peace that God has given you? We have a garden. We have some apple trees. There's fruit on the apple trees. But right now, the trees are full of sprouts and runners, suckers, branches going out all over the place. Unless I get the clippers and the ladder out there and clip, clip, clip for the third time this year, I will have puny apples. Unless I found out this year, Janet said, she read online, like the apple maggots that we get that drill holes into all the apples because we don't spray anymore. Unless I get out and pick up all the fallen apples, the apple maggots will get into those and then get into the tree. And then, you know, can't spray with chemicals anymore, so we got a little soap and a sprayer, you know, and keep the bugs off. Crazy trees. Just go out and buy some apples already. What are we doing? You know, but to harvest fruit, somebody has to cultivate it. It's a gift. I didn't earn it. I don't make those apples, but I participate in it. Peace is a gift given to you, but how do you cultivate it? How do you see it mature and be fruitful in your life, to be beautiful in all that it can be in your life? I just want to give you some simple things. First of all, start your day by focusing your mind on Christ. In Romans 8, in a chapter that I have laminated on a piece of paper and stuck in my shower, when I'm, you know, conscious and in the shower, I see. And now that my eyes are getting worse, I keep backing up in the shower and going, through the water coming under my head. What does Romans 8? You know, there's therefore no condemnation. And but it says that the mindset on Christ is life and peace. The mindset on Christ, the mind controlled by Christ, is life and peace. So it's telling me I have to set my mind on Christ. And I don't know about you, but it's important to do that in the morning for me. If I set my mind on the news, which I like to listen to in the morning, but it takes you in a direction. Maybe I don't know what your morning habit is, but if you're into stock markets and you set your mind on the stock market that morning, that is where will you have peace in your life? If you're a Facebook person, and which I'm not, but if, you know, I hear people talking about it, and, you know, young people preoccupied with what is being said about them on Facebook, you know, all the terrible things that have happened. Here's a good thing, possibility of human communication in a way that the planet has never experienced it before. You'd think, isn't that awesome? Yeah, just wait. Let human nature play its role, right? Destructive things happening as people's lives are destroyed because they're paying their attention on what others are saying about them in social media. It robs us of peace with God. Now, so use it productively. Use it in the right way, but don't start your day with these things. Start with focusing. Isaiah 26, verse 3 in the Old Testament, the prophet wrote, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." And every day we choose what we will focus our minds on. Choose to focus on Christ. Create margin in your life to connect with the beautiful peace of God that you have. Create margin. It won't happen in and of its own. We're busy in life, especially in our hectic world. You know, it used to be if you walked everywhere, Jesus and his disciples walked. You ever thought about the time they took to walk? Time to think. Time to walk through a forest, to look at the desert, look at the sky and listen to God and think about his peace. But you and I jump in our car. We turn on the radio. We're just constantly bombarded with media. Where do we create margin to connect with the gift of peace in our lives? Another thing is praying. Learning to take problems and turn them into prayers. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is another great verse about peace. Here Paul writes to the Philippians, "Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding, way beyond anything we can really comprehend, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Be praying. And so what I would like to do more and more in my life is when I feel adrenaline coming up, which we often do in conflict, we get upset. And then, you know, adrenaline just causes us to react out of emotion. And I would like to cultivate a skill to say, "Lord, when the adrenaline comes up, I pray. God, how should I do this? What should I say? Give me your peace." And that's something that I know God, a prayer that he will answer in my life and yours. You say, "Well, I know how to cultivate inner peace. I just avoid conflict." That's not actually what the scripture calls us to. We're actually supposed to care for each other like brothers and sisters. And that means we speak to each other sometimes hard things. But we do it out of a place of peace. And that goes to the second point, cultivating peace in our community. If God gives us peace with himself, he didn't mean for it to stay there. He wants us to be agents of peace. Jesus is our example in this. Jesus was the master of being with people. A book that I was looking at recently by John Paul Lederach on reconciliation. He's a guy that does mediation around the world with violent groups and stuff. But he's talking about how Jesus did this. And he said, this is a thing that you notice phenomenally about Jesus is he was attentive to people in a way that no one else was. And he was attentive to people without regard to their race, their social standing. Didn't matter if they were a tax collector, a prostitute, Pilate, the Roman governor, a general, or a fisherman. He was attentive to them. And how was he so attentive to people in his life? Because he came from a place of peace and relationship with God, peace within himself, and then he was an agent of peace with others. That's what God wants us to be in our family, in our community, but it starts with us being attentive. Too often, when I'm in conflict, I put the person in a box. "You're a jerk. You're a bum. You're an idiot in front of me in the car. You know, I just have boxes where I place people. You're there because you deserve it." I'm not attentive. Who is that person before God? And what might God want me to do to be an agent of peace in this situation? With our friends, in our marriage, with our children, to be agents of peace. And then, brothers and sisters, it's exciting also what God can do through us as a community as we work. We're doing that as a church with refugees, saying, hey, let's not just categorize these people as, you know, from a terrorist country, a war-torn. Let's see, these are brothers and sisters. These are people who need grace and love. Let's be agents of peace. So God can do tremendous things through us as a community. Be wise about how we confront one another. And I have often screwed up in that area, because I just react rather than thinking carefully and peacefully what would be the most constructive way to confront. We all want peace. God offers it to us. Have you experienced peace with God? There's no sense in thinking, "Oh, I'm going to be an agent of peace in my community." You may be able to get a contract for the cessation of hostilities, But you will not be an agent of true transformative peace, the peace of God, unless you experience peace with God. And that is peace in a person, in Jesus. He alone has taken the enmity, the conflict, the hostility between us and God. He took the penalty for my arrogance and self-centeredness on himself. So that now, despite the fact that I continue periodically and too often to act self-centered, God looks at me through the eyes of his son, Jesus, and says, "This is my child. Rob is my boy. And I love him. And we're at peace with one another." That is a gift that I've received. And it allows me to be an agent of peace. Here's the beautiful thing. When I think about the world around, the Prince of Peace is coming back to make peace. And it won't be coexistence. It'll be people from every nation, every tribe. I was listening to a guy on the radio the other day. He was talking about the Dallas shootings. And they're saying, well, how could we ever get peace? All this tension between races. The radio commentator said, well, it probably won't happen till all the races are blended together. And we're all just kind of, there's no more black and white and Asian. And they're all just blended together. I'm thinking, well, okay, is that the plan? No. God, when God comes and brings peace, then different races, we don't just coexist, we're brothers and sisters. And this is the peace that the King of Kings will come one day to restore in this world when he comes to judge the world. And the Bible says before that return of Christ, violence will grow. And that's what we're seeing. But don't be afraid. I give you peace, not as the world gives. Would you like that peace today? Let's stand together. Let's take some time during this singing. There's going to be people available to pray with you here on the side. I would love to pray. Maybe you just want to come pray by yourself. If there's something specific you're dealing with, yeah, I need peace in this situation. It's internal. It's relational. I need peace in this situation. The gift of peace, the giver of peace is here today. And if you have never experienced peace with God, have never felt that feeling of, oh, what just happened here? That burden has been lifted from me. I've experienced peace with God that I long for in this life. You can receive that gift today. I would love to pray with you. I have a Bible that I brought up here to give to you if you're that's you today. Don't miss the opportunity, even while we're singing. We've got a couple of songs that we're going to sing, and the last hymn is a hymn about peace. So let's pray now. Father, thank you for the gift of peace. And Lord, you know we need it desperately. The world needs it. It's a mess. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Come now by your Spirit with the gift of peace for us. Lord, our hearts are hungry for peace with one another, with you, and for our world. Come and meet us, we pray. Amen.